Hello, this is Ella Cochran, Life Success Consultant, and I want to present to you a really important concept called stick person, or picture of your mind. If I ask you to think about your house, the picture of your house will come up on the screen of your mind. If I ask you to think about your car, again, the image of a car will come up on the screen of your mind. This is because we think in pictures. But if I ask you to think about your mind, what picture do you get? If you like most people, you get no picture, or probably, if anything, you get an image of your brain on the screen of your mind. But mind is not a thing. Mind is activity, movement. So mind is in your brain as much as it is in your fingernails or in your hair. It's in every molecule of your being. Back in 1934, Truman Fleet of San Antonio, Texas, a chiropractor, had his tremendous desire to help people understand what holistic health was all about. That's dealing with the whole person, the spiritual being, the intellectual being, and the physical being. And he said that the task was impossible without having an image of the mind. And since no one ever seen the mind, he said, I am going to make a picture of the mind. So he started drawing that picture, and I would like you to maybe follow me as I'm describing it, and you will see it in your mind. He drew a picture of a large circle for the head, then a little line coming down from the neck, and a small circle for the body, just below the big one. And then he just put a small dash for the arms and for the legs on both sides of the small circle. We refer to that as a stick person. The large circle of this diagram represents the mind, and the smaller circle, the body. On the right side of the stick person, just put letter R for results. We notice in the stick person that the mind is bigger than the body. And that's on purpose, because up to now we have given all our awareness to our physical body and our physical results, when really everything in our life is nothing but expression of our mind. When I first saw the picture of the stick person, I recalled my little nephew drawing one day a picture of his dad, with a head much bigger than the rest of the body. But his dad told him that the head should be smaller. But really, was he right? It seems that the little children know somehow things intuitively. They think from inside out. But because from birth their mind is wide open, they are slowly programmed to think from outside in, like the rest of us. In the circle representing the mind, the big one, we are going to put an imaginary horizontal line from ear to ear. Everything above the line we are going to refer to as the conscious mind. And everything below that horizontal line is going to be referred as the subconscious mind. The conscious mind is the part of you that thinks, reason. It can be called intellectual mind. Our free will, awareness, imagining system lies there. It is a thinking mind where our thoughts originate. The conscious mind has hooked up the little antennas for seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. These are the sensory factors. They are hooked up to the conscious mind, and they help us correspond and communicate with the outside world. They pick up all kinds of information from outside. The Moses said they are both the blessing and the curse, because they not only pick up all sorts of distractions, but they also feed good information in. We see what something looks like, we can taste things, or we can feel it. Our conscious mind can accept or reject any idea. It is inductive. Within our conscious mind, we have ability to choose our thoughts. We can choose any thoughts we want. No person or circumstances can cause us to think about thoughts or ideas you don't want to. This is very, very important because the thoughts you choose will eventually determine your results in life. All pain, pleasure, abundance, or limitation is either originated in our conscious mind or accepted unconditionally from outside source. Our subconscious mind, on the other hand, is our emotional mind. That is our feeling mind, universal intelligence. This is really where our self-image is. It is a storehouse for our memory and experiences. Our belief system, our habits and conditioned responses also reside there. Unlike the conscious mind, subconscious mind has no ability to reject. It must accept whatever image is presented upon it by the conscious mind or allowed unconditionally from the outside source. It's totally deductive and it knows no limits. Subconscious mind can't distinguish what is real and what's imagined. The thoughts we choose in our conscious mind are impressed upon our subconscious mind and they change the way we feel. Think about it. If you wake up in the morning and the first thought that comes to your mind is, "Oh my God, what a gloomy day." You get up, try to make your breakfast, and the toast burns. You get stuck in traffic maybe on the way to your office. Spill coffee, step on a piece of gum. You are thinking angry and frustrating thoughts. How do you think you are going to feel? Yes, you are going to feel angry and frustrated. But if despite what's happening, we shift our conscious mind to some nice images and refuse to give power to the bad ones, we stay calm and feel happy. Our feelings get expressed through the body in actions, and those actions by law produce our results. If we feel angry and frustrated, we can easily snap at someone who happens to be around. Result? That person snaps back at us. But if we feel good and smile, we usually get a smile back. We were programmed to look at our results and allowed our current results to influence how we feel and think, to live from outside in. So if you want to change your results in your life, first you have to be conscious of what you are thinking and change your thoughts that you're choosing. You need to learn to think independently of your environment, to start living from inside out. That's what the Bible teaches us, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita. All the good books tell us to go inside, live from the inside out. How do we do that? We can do that by properly utilizing our intellectual faculties. Our intellectual faculties or intellectual factors are our mental muscles. They need to be developed exactly in the same way as we developed our physical muscles, by using them. The more you use them, the stronger your mind becomes. Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich tells us that after studying 500 very successful, most richest and powerful individuals in the world, he found that these people acquired what they had not because of their acquired knowledge, but because they developed their intellectual faculties to such a degree that they could create whatever there was they wanted in their life without violating rights of other people. Intellectual faculties govern our thoughts. They allow us to really think rather than just gather the information from our senses. And using intellectual faculties, we can move to our higher side of our nature, and we can begin to change the way we think. And changing the way we think, we begin to change the way we feel. and the new feelings moves the body from completely new vibration, and that ultimately will change our results. Most people don't know even what their intellectual faculties are. So, what are they? There are six of them: perception, will, imagination, memory, intuition, and reason. I just encourage you to make some notes here. First, perception is our ability to understand something to be different to what appears to be to our physical senses. It is our perspective, the way we explain things to ourselves. You see, the information comes to our physical senses, and as it comes in, the law of relativity states it's neither good nor bad. It's neutral until we relate to it in some way. What we need to understand is that this process of relating to something else takes part in here, in our mind, not outside of us. We decide the significance of the events in our life, and we give them meanings. And we wouldn't do that without the perception. Our next intellectual faculty is our will. The will is like a magnifying glass. It allows us to keep our thoughts concentrated on one idea, on what we want in our life, without allowing some outside suggestion or some negative comments we hear to take us off our course. Genevieve Berant, in her book Your Invisible Power, talks about the power of will. She says if you visualize your heart desires and hold it with your will, focus on that what you want, by law you begin to attract all things requisite for the fulfillment of that picture. And that's, in a nutshell, that's the law of attraction. Our intellectual factor is our imagination. Imagination is our ability to build big and beautiful pictures. This is the workshop of the mind. Edison tells us that imagination is more powerful even than knowledge. We always imagine things, but we not always use them the right way. You see, most people would imagine all the reason why things cannot be done. They imagine all the obstacles. In the same way, they can imagine the solution, but the choice is theirs. The next intellectual faculty is our memory. We do hear very often people say that they don't have a good memory. They are saying something that they don't want in their life. Everyone has a good memory. It is a skill that can be developed by some ridiculous associations. And if you allow it, you can develop a perfect memory. There are lots of programs that can allow you to do that. That sort of bad memory creates a bad feeling, and in the situation when you require your memory, what do you think will happen? They will not remember a thing, of course. Then they look at results, and the results will confirm that they have a bad memory, and they get caught in a vicious circle. We can remember all our wins and all our losses. We can treat our success and our failures too. But it seems that most people have a selective memory of all bad things, all sins, transgressions, and they drag all this bad memory into their future. We just need to learn to let that go. Well, if you made a mistake in your life, and who hasn't, you have already paid for them. You don't have to pay twice. Use your memory when you are moving into a direction of your goals, just to remind yourself about the successes you once had in the past. Next intellectual faculty is our intuition. This is our ability to pick up the energy of another person. This is also where we can really feel what's going on inside someone. This faculty is really, really magical. Some people call it the sixth sense or coincidence. It is our ability to pick up that energy of other people, to see. You see, everybody is nothing but a mass of energy, and everything is mass of energy too, as we now know, and it's been confirmed through science. The body releases the energy, and cells at about 50,000 cells per second. A Curion photography can capture that energy leaving the body in the form of an aura. Some people can actually see that with their own eyes. And, you know, you actually get bad or good vibration from the person. So what do we mean by vibration? Well, vibration is a word you use when you're talking about feelings. We become consciously aware that about the feeling that other people have, intuition. I think Dr. Wayne Dyer says the best definition of intuition. He says that if prayer is us talking to God, our intuition is God talking to us. The last of the intellectual faculties is reason, and this is our God-like quality. It's our ability to co-create with God. It is our ability to think and choose. It is our ability to choose what we want to. This really is our free will. Anything you find here in our conscious mind, you can find in a horse and a pig. They can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, but they cannot reason. They cannot imagine. This is the highest side of our nature. Producing results in our life is a four-step process. Number one, our thoughts. Begin to pay attention to what you're thinking. Number two, you internalize those thoughts and you create feelings. Make sure you feel good about everything you do. Number three, these feelings are expressed in actions. Pay attention to your own actions. Do everything you are doing as well as you can, possibly. And number four is results. Pay attention to your results and understand this. You are in control of your results. Nobody else is a cause of your results. If you think that you are a victim, victims lose. Victims never learn that they are in control of their results. Make up your mind that from this moment on, you are going to be consciously aware of what you are thinking, what you are feeling, and what you are doing. And realize that if the results are not the results that you want, you've got the ability to change them. Don't feel bad that the results are not what you want. Just feel good that you are aware that you can change them. And step into action and build an image of the good that you desire. Get emotionally involved with it, step into an action on it, and watch the result change. To your success. This is Ella Cochran. Thank you.